Can either turn there or not. But in Genesis chapter 13, notice, if I can find it, that God told Abraham in verse 14, "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." Well, how long forever? Well, it's forever. So there's seed of Abraham that are going to inherit the land forever. And I don't have time to go to all the scriptures about it, but y'all know in Genesis 17 that God made a covenant with Abraham, and the covenant was the covenant of circumcision, and that had to do with the fact that he was going to establish Isaac, this covenant with Isaac, and to his seed everlasting, after him, for everlasting. It was for everlasting, it's for always. Now, all of that is on the earth, and it's on the land that God promised Abraham. Now, that they had doctrines to follow, didn't they? In order that this would take place. They had the covenant of circumcision, and later on, the people, is the ones of the circumcision, and the people, the rest of the people in the world, had the law given to them through Moses and so forth, and there was a lot of different things established. Now, I want to turn to, I'm talking about something you could talk about for a week, and I understand that. But in Matthew chapter 5, okay. I thought it was, anyway. Oh, yeah. These are the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes? Y'all know who gave them that name, I think. Verse 3 says, "Blessed are the poor." This is Jesus Christ teaching a Sermon on the Mount. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Somebody's going to inherit the earth. Who is it? It's the meek. It's the humble. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So on and so forth. But in verse 10 he says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, the kingdom of heaven he's talking about would have to be in our atmosphere. And this new city, Jerusalem, that comes down from God out of heaven, will be in this atmosphere, evidently, or of the new heaven and new earth. Now, I want you to think about what Jesus Christ told the 12 apostles in chapter 19. Verse 27 says, "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory." So there's glory somewhere. I want to put it out here. There's glory. Where Jesus is going to be in the throne of his glory, "ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Well, where would that be? How are they going to have 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel when Jesus Christ tells them, I think it's in Luke 21, and I might be mistaken there, but they're going to be as the angels. They're not going to marry, so on and so forth. These people, these 12 apostles, are not inheritors of the earth, but they are in the kingdom of heaven. And some people will say, no, 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 that's the kingdom of God. But in the end, I'm not willing to argue about that. Now, there's other things that go on. Go to Revelation chapter 21. John, the writer of the book of Revelation, says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 1, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. He's going to wipe away all tears and sorrow and all that. Verse 7 says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And then he talks about the fearful and so forth. In verse 9 he says, there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now y'all know who the Lamb is, don't you? And there's capital L on that there. It's talking about Jesus Christ, and this thing that is going, he's going to show them is the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to the great high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. And at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me, so forth. He measured the wall, told how big this is, and so forth. The building of the wall, verse 18, when it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations, it goes on to tell about them. You can find this in the book of Isaiah. And verse 21 says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, and as it were, transparent glass. Now, the city had no need, verse 23, of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh lie, the day which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, he goes on to talk about some other things. So, here is the bride. Now, this bride matches up with somebody. Who would it be? Where do these folks come from? You reckon? It looks like we can see. There are people, if we start back here in Genesis, and there are people who obey God. By the time Noah came and the flood came, he was the only one, but there have been some. We come on down to Moses, and there was a few people who believed God, obeyed God. We come on through the prophets and so forth. There was always somebody who did. I mean, he told Elijah, he reserved 7,000 men unto him in Israel who had not bowed the knee to Baal, and all the rest of them had. And so on and so forth. And then we come to the cross. Now, was God, did Jesus Christ choose 12 men? He did, didn't he? And called them his apostles, and he told them they were going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, there's the 12 thrones, the 12 gates. Peter's not the only one that has a pearly gate. They all have one. Each of them has a pearly gate. That's their inheritance. Now, I don't have time to do it, but I would invite you to read the book of Peter, 1 Peter, and read the book of Hebrews in the light that this priesthood, this royal priesthood that's mentioned in Exodus 19 and in Isaiah 40-something, sorry, 42 maybe. Anyway, this priesthood that God is going to call out and make them this royal priesthood that Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 2, this is in the Word of God. God is not just fooling around. It's why I'm trying to show you this in the crudest and quickest way I can, probably. But God, before the foundation of the world, had a plan whereby everything would work out perfectly, that He could send His Son into this world to go to a cross and be sacrificed, crucified, and shed His blood there to make everyone pure and righteous in the sight of God who would accept that sacrifice. And without the death of Jesus Christ at Calvary, there wouldn't be anybody going to end up on this earth. And without the death of Jesus Christ and the shedding of His blood, there wouldn't be anybody to inherit this land that God promised Abraham. And what God promises, He will do. And He's going to do it. And this bride here, we read that it's the bride, I can see that it is the royal priesthood. The 144,000 of people, Jews, that are named by their tribe in Revelation chapter 7, and a multitude, mixed multitude, that go into that city with them, they are all the bride of Christ. And they're not Baptist briders, they're the bride of Christ. They're the bride of the Lamb in this Bible. And, now wait a minute. Where are you? I want you to turn to Ephesians, if you will. Because the point of me talking about what I'm talking about is not to prove to you that I know something. Because I know Jesus Christ. And I know about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I hope that each one of you know about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope you know it personally. I hope you know the moment in time when it becomes so clear to you that you had to cast away your flesh and accept what has been done for you by a gracious, almighty God who created all the universes. We don't even know what's out in space. Smart as man is, and he can go out there to the moon, and he can come back, and he can go to send a thing to Mars and can't get it back, and so on and so forth. Man is smart. We all put our heads together, we can come up with some genius things, but we don't know how big space is, and they can't get a telescope to see to the end of it. They're looking for the origin of life, you know. Well, the origin of life's out there. But Amos, in the book of Amos, it states very clearly, God's not going to allow man to find it. So they can't get where God is. And they can't dig into hell either. They've never figured that out. But God left us a book. He left us His Word. That we could know some things and have hope. What a hope we have. A blessed hope. So now, I want to put on the board a group of people. I'll just put a square up here. I want to put a head on it. I want to put God up here on the throne. In Ephesians chapter 1. We all know, I hope every one of you know how God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's how awesome God is. It was mentioned up here last night. How awesome is that, that God could know you before this world that He created? Did He speak this matter into being, or we don't know, do we? He chose you in His Son. Because He created Adam, and He knew what Adam was going to do. Because He gave Adam a free will. And you're born with a free will. Therefore, He knew what you were going to do. And He knew you were going to be a sinner. So in His foreknowledge, He made the plan that Jesus Christ would come and be the sacrifice and the substitute for all of mankind. It's called redemption. It's called reconciliation. Justification in our case. He chose us. He chose us for a purpose. Look what it says. Verse 9 says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. I'm talking to you about something only God can do. Them little g gods can't do it. And they're everywhere. And they've been everywhere. And Satan's been everywhere. And Satan's fighting against this because, like it says in Isaiah chapter 14, he is a boisterous person who believes that if he can get enough people to follow him, he can overtake God and so overthrow God, and he can sit upon the throne of God and rule all things. And he's not giving up. People say, oh, the devil mad because he knew he was defeated. Well, the Bible says he was defeated, but I don't think he believes the Bible. He just knows it. He don't believe it. He knows what it says. He don't believe it because he's still at work. He gets into your mind and my mind. And he causes people to doubt what they see all around them. And the most blessed book that's ever been printed in order for man to read it. And they won't believe it. They think it's some kind of mythical thing. Well, it's not a mythical thing. But God had a purpose. He purposed this in Himself. And He's made known unto us this mystery of His will. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time. Wouldn't like that be? When time's over with, isn't it? There's coming a time and time is no more. I remember hearing a song that said that years ago. When time is no more. That's the fullness of times. He might gather together in one all things in Christ. Now I'm interested in that one. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Well, are these people in heaven in Christ? Are these people on earth? They're not to be in Christ. These are not to be in Christ. All of these three inheritances that I've got drawn here are in heaven or earth. And they're in Christ. Then he says, there's a colon there, and in verse 11 he says, in whom? Christ. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated to the inheritance, according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. You know, I find in this world that people question God. Why did God do this? Why would He do that? It's according to His will. It's so that when time is fulfilled. All human beings who were ever saved by their obedience unto God in whatever dispensation, we'll call it a dispensation, they lived in, are going to be righteous and holy. And they're going to love God, and they're going to serve Him, and they're going to worship Jesus Christ, the person who made it all possible for them. He says that we, after this colon, should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Where is His glory? I think we'll see. I know the heavenly city is glorious, but Jesus Christ is glorified by God the Father. And He's glorified by the fact that you would trust His work to make you righteous in God's eyes. And this is going to bring glory, bright, shining glory, something to be it's going to be something to behold. In whom, verse 13 says, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of the good news of your salvation. God has something in mind for the people out of this period of time that we're in, from before the foundation of the world, wherein you and I can be saved by the work of Jesus Christ at Calvary, to the glory of God and to the glory of Jesus Christ, and with absolutely no glory for you and me except whatever glory we can bring Jesus Christ. After you heard this, you believed it. You trusted in it. How can you trust in it? You know you can't accomplish any goodness yourself. And boy, do we try. We really try. We try to clean up how we talk, how we look, do good deeds. We do things that are right, you know. But all of that is no good to God. It's what Jesus Christ did that's good as far as He's concerned. So Paul says, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. How do we know we have this inheritance? That's what I'm going to read a little bit more about here. We have an inheritance. It's not here on earth. It's not in this holy city that all of the songs are written about. I don't know. Jesus Christ told me to go down there and walk the street of gold. I'm going to do it. But that's not my inheritance. My inheritance is far above that. That's glorious. Why is that bold to be glorious? That's how flesh thinks. Jesus Christ is going to be glorious. And He's our head. This inheritance is the body of Christ. He's the head, according to Colossians chapter 2, and according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, God is the only being above Jesus Christ forever. Now you can't miss these things if you study them out. Why I'm talking about it is because I believe it's another way to show the Word of God rightly divided. Amen. You compare how God dealt with man in different times, and you can see the vast difference, and you can see what God showed by all this. And it talks about the work of Jesus Christ here in chapter 1. It finishes it in verse 20. It says, His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Jesus Christ said, whatever comes, this heaven and this earth shall be gone, a new one's going to come, but Jesus Christ is still You're in Jesus Christ. You're in His church, which is His body, if you've ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And have put all things, all been discussed here a few times this week. And gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Goes on to tell us how He's quickened us. He's made us alive. He's raised us with Jesus Christ, as was preached last night. And it's never so that we can boast. I want you to go now. I want to come back here. How am I doing on time anyway? I have another half hour. I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
12.
Okay, thanks. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I want you to notice something. God tells us things. We have to compare Scripture and allow that earnest of the Spirit that we have to show us why it's there. This passage here I want to read, men don't like it. People will say women don't like it. It ain't the women that don't like this. It's the man that don't like it. I'd like to get my wife to do everything for me. She takes good care of me. But I have a responsibility about that. I want you to see something here. Verse 3 says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Okay, so I have them in the right order here. I have God. I have Christ. I have man, His body. I have His bride. And I would have His children. Is Israel His children?
Yes.
I have servants. People think, oh, you can't talk about servants. Well, you're one.
Yeah.
Whoever you are, that's what you are. If you know Jesus Christ, are you willing to serve Him? Are you willing to minister Him out to other people any way you can? By your testimony, however you can do it. Do you really believe in Jesus Christ? Do you really believe He saved you? Do you know the moment of time that that happened and you're free from your flesh? You don't have to worry about it. People go, oh, that means you can just go sin. No, you're going to go sin anyway. That's not the point. That's what the religious systems do to us. They cause us to be conscious of our weaknesses when we ought to concentrate upon our strengths. It says, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. Who's her head? The man is. Who's the man's head? Jesus Christ is. Who's Jesus Christ's head? God is. Now then, it says, dishonest, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her not, her let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head. Who's his head? Jesus Christ. Don't cover up Jesus Christ. Let Him have free reign with you. I know that's easier said than done. We have flesh. But think about what the Scripture is showing us here. For as much as He is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Now, that's here on the list. This is why we're here. I understand. Brian read last night about there is no male or female in the body of Christ. There's schizo, schizzy, bond, free. All are one in Jesus Christ, because if you're in Jesus Christ, you have His Spirit, your part forever in. in the inheritance up here above the heavens. Being a part of a, I believe it'll be a functioning body of Jesus Christ, that we will go out into the universes, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what's out there. God does, and we're going to be a part of the most glorious thing we could, any man who's ever lived on this earth, any person, could be, and we're going to be a part of that because we're in Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. Isn't that wonderful? He says, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. So on and so forth. And tells us how we can't really get along without one another. And so forth. Now then. Go back to Ephesians, if you would. But I want you to see, God had this plan. It's not something new. This plan he had always there. Now, this thing I just read in Corinthians is there, as well as back in over chapter 15, what he has to say about all this and about how we're going to have heavenly bodies and so on and so forth. I want to start verse 9 here of Ephesians 3, and I hope y'all know the rest of the passage. It says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. I've been talking to you about mysteries. What's the fellowship of the mystery? Which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. We're supposed to see this heavenly place. Give a glimpse. And according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. The faith of him. We know he accomplished it all for us. We and God. Our flesh don't have anything to do. It was accomplished for us. Through the faith he had in God the Father and Jesus Christ dwelt here in the flesh, he had faith in God. Because he knew what the Scripture said, he understood it. And he had faith in God that God would raise him from the dead and give him back the glory he had with God before the foundation of the world. Like he prayed to God about in John 17. He says, verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. It's a family. Did I give God, Christ, man, woman, child, servants on board? It's the family of God. All this inheritance turns out to be, this is the family of God. And people want to make buildings where God dwells. God's going to dwell in the people. Amen. In this inheritance, this eternal inheritance. And we're not going to be floating around on a cloud singing love songs. No. We're going to be part of his domain. We're going to reign. Question is, where are you going to land? We know, I know, anybody in here has to be a part of this inheritance. The body of Christ, far above on heaven, like we read there in Ephesians. And he says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. We should have a great outlook. That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Our flesh can't grasp it. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Now go back to Ephesians 2. Now I want to come down to verse 19. Understand, I just don't have time to go into the rest of it. But he says in verse 19, now therefore, because God has taken the law away, he's taken everything from other dispensations away, there is a gospel to be presented to you and everybody else in this world today, which is free from all encumbrances. All you've got to do is get your flesh out of the way and allow Jesus Christ to save you. Forever! Until this glorious inheritance that's ours. And he says, they come and they preach this peace to us. And then he says, therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You see, we're up here in the household. These other saints are down here in another part of the household. But it's all the household of Almighty God. It's all part of His plan that's being fulfilled from before the foundation of the world. He had a way to glorify His Son for coming and redeeming all of us worthless critters down here. And he says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles. We certainly are. And prophets. We are. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, you know, he became the head of the corner. Israel hated it. And people call themselves Israel, but they still hate it. He's the chief cornerstone of it all. It could not have been God. Wouldn't have built this except for Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone and it all being built upon Him. In whom all the buildings fit and frame together grow up into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. It is the work of the Spirit today to make you and me be seen what God has in store. People say, I wonder what heaven is. I just told you a little I know about it.
Amen.
Or what I believe. You can cut me off. Cut me off. Okay. If I'm not already. I want to stay here in closing. I hope if there's anyone here who has never trusted the work of Jesus Christ for their salvation, they will do so. Right now, there is no excuse about it. I will say it is, there's been enough gospel preached here this week to save the world. And the first preacher did that, probably. Now, that might have been me, I might not say that. I appreciate the opportunity of being here. I appreciate all you folks. I appreciate Jerry Barber's hospitality. And I took this little extra time because I want to tell you, good Lord willing, and He probably is, some of the rest of us may not be, but we'll try to have a conference in Gunnersville. I think it's 4th, 5th, and 6th of March. And if any of you have never been there, you missed a great blessing. It's not because we do it. It's because it's kind of a central place, and we have... Last couple of years, we've had 400 or 500 people there at a time. And it's grace believers who believe in the grace of Almighty God and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they bring people in there with them. And sometimes people get saved. Aside from that, we have a great time of fellowship and listen to, I believe, the best preachers there are in the world, to my knowledge. And I appreciate all of them that come and preach. I don't have to call them up and ask them if they're going to come. They just come. And they come willingly and they preach the Word of God. And so far we've had a great place to meet where we eat some meals there and fellowship with one another. And people get to know one another from all over the country. A lot of you people from here in Texas have been there. I hope you will come back. Hope you enjoyed it. And we look forward to doing that to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, who died for us. And I would hope to see
see you there. I don't think I'm missing anything in between then now and then. And that I should talk about. But anyway, I do appreciate y'all, and I love you in the Lord, and I really hope and pray that y'all are saved above all things. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jeff.
Write your questions down. Let me tell you something. You just found out something about the family of God that you wouldn't find out in denominational churches in 700 years.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something else. When Jack first did something like this, it turned on lights for me that I hadn't had turned on in 20 years. I never put it together like that. And let me tell you something. I believe that wholeheartedly. That is what God has determined is going to take place. Okay, if you don't believe it, I don't care. I'm like, okay. He said he had open heart surgery. He don't care what anybody thinks. I don't think anything wrong with me, and I don't care what anybody thinks. But I can tell you this much. It answers so many questions. Every time you go to the Word of God, you spot things that are according to the inheritances of God Almighty. After you know about that. Just watch your own study and see if that's not true. I thank God for that being in the Bible. Thank God for Jack preaching it. And I thank God for the chance that we get to take a 9.5-minute break.